how to live. And it all begins with that great salvation, being born again in Christ, and chapter 2, working out our salvation in fear and trembling and putting on the mind of Christ. So this is the journey of being consecrated unto the Lord, and just this is doing life as a Christian, and just growing in Him and being watchful and pressing on. I think there's a couple of songs there in the book of Psalms in 42 and 63. As the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul after you, O God. And in 63, because your loving kindness is better than life. Loving kindness of God is better than life itself. My lips will praise you. So here in this third chapter of Philippians, which I'm glad I'm in Ephesians, because we're going to read that in a moment too. And you may want to turn there, Ephesians 6, and it's just a little page or two, depending on the print of your Bible, from Philippians 3. Just go back a page. And how this great power of Christ in Philippians 3, praising God, and as we live rejoicing in Jesus, and His power works in us, growing us as a child of God. Now, this being the first Sunday in Lent, and I just want to read the scripture that came out from the National Day of Prayer. You may have gotten this on your emails, I don't know, but just a tremendous word for us here in Ephesians chapter 6, a passage that you know so well, but let us listen to the word of God here. Ephesians 6, and beginning at verse number 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This power that we're studying in Philippians 3. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Take up, put on daily the full armor of God, because Satan attacks, and he is relentless in it, and constantly seeking to devour whomever he can. Because we come into our lesson today, and it is a very pertinent thing here to really parallels together, really hand in gloves in here, rejoicing in the power of the gospel. My dear friends, two things you got to guard and war against the old flesh every day. And number two, as you press on to know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, you must beware and be watchful and know the mind that is behind the system, the world system. The scriptures teach us to put on the mind of Christ. Amen. And as you put on the mind of Christ, don't live recklessly in this culture, in this life that we have, in the way the world is today. Be aware and know who the mind is behind the world's system, and it is old Satan himself. The mind behind the system. And that's what we're going to look at some today, and as we journey together. So you got to be on guard against the mind that works all this evil and wickedness in our culture. And so you do this, you know, you suit up with the Word of God and know that you are living as a Christian, not in your own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. And you're going to use the word daily in battle against sin, and as you share the gospel with others. And knowing this, I mean, this is a day of war. The Lord is coming back soon. It's not too far off in the future. And we know He's always been ready to come. And He told us, when you see these things happen, these wars, look up, summer is near. And you know, whenever the word was, whenever the fig tree blossoms, and that happened back in the 50s, and then Israel becomes a nation once again, and we are pressing on here. And the Lord's return is very soon. When we see these things that have happened here in our world the last couple years, really, and what's going on right now, just the whole world has been changed, and you know that, and I know that, because of dictator Putin's just treacherous and horrendous actions of war crimes there in Ukraine. And so pray for the believers there, the Christians there. But I tell you, my dear friends, everybody needs to be getting their house in order. The day of the Lord has always been near, but according to the journey and the prophecies of Scripture, He's very close. Don't be reckless with your soul or with your life. Love the Lord Jesus and live on in His power and His might, taking every opportunity to share your love of Christ with others. Here in Philippians in chapter 3, and we're going to begin once again. And in verse 1, finally, my brethren, verse 1, we can't cut it off, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. Do what in the Lord, church? Rejoice. Do what? Rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. For me to write these same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, by the time we ever get done with Philippians chapter 3, you're going to love this chapter so much, and you're going to know it by heart, and you're going to live it by heart. And it is just such a powerful, powerful book. And though I might have confidence in the flesh, verse 4, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, that I may gain, that I may win all things for Christ, and yet indeed, all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to the image of His death, that if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. And we'll close there today. Living out your calling, that I may know Christ and just lay hold of what He's created me to be for His kingdom. And as a child of God, He's brought me out of death into such a great salvation. And as His child, and He is my Lord, and I live on to fulfill the kingdom call in my life. He is first and foremost. And we praise God for this. And when we covered there these first few verses about being watchful against false teachers and putting no confidence in the flesh, And knowing that today, just a briefie here on, as we touched it last week, warring against the flesh. How many in here have flesh? Yeah. If you're alive, you still got the flesh. Guard against the flesh, because all the battles don't come from the old devil. Our fallen flesh screams to be gratified. The old me, old self. And Paul, you know, in his life, I mean, he was just a tremendous man, a powerful man. And as far as he goes on to describe here, all that he was as a person. He knew the scriptures. He knew the law. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, his genealogy was total Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew the scriptures, and he thought he was so right the way he persecuted the church. He said, who are these heretics? He was zealous for the scriptures, the law. He lived the law. A tremendous man. And you know he is what he was, what he says, because it's in the Holy Writ. It's in the scriptures. It's truth. And this is by the inspiration of God. This wasn't just Paul thinking, well, what am I going to write here? And I'll send this letter and they'll put it in the canon of scripture. No, this is by inspiration of God, of the Spirit of God. And so, but this third chapter is so personal. It's so personal. His love, his intimacy with the Lord. And so just being righteous for the Lord, and still one of the most powerful dangers for the church and for Christians is to build a life depending somewhat on somehow and in some depth of works. It's a religion. As one old timer said one time, he says, when I found Christ, I lost my religion. Because in Christ, it is a life of faith. It's a real life. Powerful life. So to win Christ, to gain Christ, we're going to focus this morning on verses 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Yeah, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. And indeed, doubtless, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. The gain of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watchman Nee, in his book, Love Not the World, it's an old book, and he opens his first chapter with this words of God in John chapter 12. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. Speaking of his crucifixion, speaking of what would happen there to Satan and on the cross and our sins. And so the Lord Jesus, he uttered these words at a very powerful time in his life. He is about to go to the cross. He says, and now is the judgment. Now is the judgment. Perhaps many times we fail to think about the fact that not only was Christ paying for our sins and appeasing the wrath of God on the cross, but to know that Satan was soundly defeated, totally disarmed, totally wiped out, totally done, totally destroyed. Satan has no power. But what people give him permission to do, whether they are unsaved or whether as a born-again Christian. Christian, he has no persuasion over you, but what we give him permission to have. For our Lord Jesus Christ soundly defeated Satan there on Calvary's cross. When he said it is finished, that just covers a myriad of things. Our salvation, our sins paid for, our arch enemy in the spiritual realm destroyed, and one day the fulfillment of that will happen. And so, and I guess the burden on my heart today is that for us as believers to be aware of the mind that is behind the system. Remember when Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees and the religious leaders as to his identity as the Son of God and who and what he taught, what he preached. And he came at them and he said, "You are of your father," small f, "you are of your father, the devil." And how he scathed them. The mind behind the system of this world, its fallenness and its culture and it's just the dastardly things that goes on, and it happened, and everything from things in secret to child trafficking to pornography to world leadership and to politics and all the things that goes on. And until the day when Satan is cast into hell forever by our Lord Jesus Christ, he is to be contended with. He's to be washed against. And so that's why we need to know the scriptures. That's why we need to be built up in the Spirit of God. That's why we need to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord. That's why you need to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and be found in him. Be found in him. He is your identity. And do not live your life loosely and recklessly without feeding and nourishing your heart and soul in Scripture and by the Spirit of Christ. If you in any way you want to live recklessly, you live recklessly for Jesus. You speak boldly for him. In the one song that we sang, "Let the church be loud." What's it mean? Be loud for Christ. Be unashamed of the gospel. Be unashamed of Jesus Christ. Let the church be loud, proclaiming truth and pressing on in Christ and seeing precious souls come to Jesus Christ and in Christians helping each other and challenging each other. It is still as its swords, iron sharpens iron, and we need one another, the whole body of Christ, and we thank God for his power. You know, since the day of Adam and Eve, when they opened the door for Satan to enter with his evil, he has been relentless. Relentless. And in 1 Corinthians 1:21, as Paul says, the world knew not God. You know, we study the scriptures, and it came up in a conversation. I forget who it was. Anyway, that don't matter. But I recall one of the shows of Jeopardy. And it was in a category of the Bible. And the question presented to the lady was, I guess it's the answer. They present the answer, right? And you got to give the question. And so the answer was, you know, the number of individuals that was on the ark. It didn't give their name on Noah's ark. And she thought, clock is ticking. Clock is ticking, she thought. And at the last moment, she says, "I don't know, 50? 50? How many were on the ark, church? 8? Mommy and Daddy Noah, his wifey, the 3 sons and their wives." And I thought, you know, it's, and do not be surprised at this. The world is ignorant of God, the scriptures. And what you and I have been so privileged as from little kids up, for most of us, we knew these stories. We study, we're taught these by our beautiful Sunday school teachers when we're being little rabble-rousers in their Sunday school class. And in their love and their patience and their tolerance. And sometimes they had to grab little Philip by the cheek. Yeah. You know, and we know these things. But yet we take them for granted. But the world knew not Christ. They knew him. They know him not. Because Jesus said, you know, the scriptures say when Jesus came to his own knew him not. The Jews They didn't know him. People need the Lord. And in John, and also in John chapter 14, verse 17, people of the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth until first and foremost their eyes are open to their lostness of their condition, and they become a born-again Christian, and now the Spirit of God lives in them, and now they know. When Jesus taught the disciples, he was teaching the crowds. And the disciples asked Jesus, why do you teach so much with illustrations and little parables? And he answered them. And this is no small thing. Because he said, my dear disciples, to you has been given the Spirit of truth. Your eyes have been opened, but these don't know. And so therefore we use parables, we use illustrations. The Christian, my dear friend, should progress to the point and know that, you know, the use of parables is okay and it's good. But Jesus said to the Christian, you know the Spirit of truth, because it isn't the parable that really teaches you. It'll help you, but it's the Spirit of God that teaches you. He is the one who teaches you now. So when we sit down with our Bibles and we say we don't understand it, do we pray and ask God, you know, just open my eyes. I am your child. Open my eyes and open my heart. Then I may understand the wonderful things, as the song says, that is written in your law, that I may know the scriptures. So to you and I, Christian, we know these things. And for many of us, being born again as a young child and growing up in the Lord and growing in the Lord. And so Jesus is warning these things and understanding the mind behind the system. From a child up, you have learned. So why so many times are Christians in our adult years, are we so dubbed and unaware, because we haven't pressed on to know the Lord and we fail to understand the wicked strategies of Satan. We fail to understand the events in the world and all these things that are happening, even like over in the Ukraine. In all wars are always because of man's evil heart, greedy heart. And here is one dictator who wants more, more, more. And he throws his own country, his own family, his own army. He throws them under the bus to get what he wants. And it's an awful thing. And he is in relentless. And then all the little children that have died in Ukraine, as well as, you know, adults and people in the citizenship and taking up arms to guard their blessed country, is a most tremendous thing. To know the whole mind behind all this, as Satan works in Putin's mind and all evil dictators in any country, including any political leader in our own. Christian, Jesus said in John chapter 12, and he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Go to John chapter 12 for a moment. And that's not what I wanted, but he said, this kingdom, my kingdom is not of this world. John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Where here he is. I mean, this is on Sunday, the triumphal entry and pressing on down. And he says here in 31, now, well, there was a great commotion going, and the great prayer of the Lord Jesus, he says in 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And he comes on down in 25, and he says, whoever loves his life will lose it. Whoever hates this life and his life in this world will keep it forever. And if anyone serves me, let him follow me, because where I am, there my servant will be. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? No. But for this hour I have come. And a voice came from heaven, and people were astounded by it. In chapter and verses 30, Jesus said, this voice did not come because of me, but it's for your sake. He says in 31 and 32, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. And this he said, signifying by what death he would die. And knowing that now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And he's talking about Satan. He will disarm Satan. And in all of his powers, he will make havoc of him. Because he will, as our Christ and our deliverer, he will swallow up death alive. And it is because of Satan's temptations against Eve and against Adam there in the garden. It is that sin, that was the entrance of death. And now Jesus is coming to the cross and will die in our place and die for the sins of the world and die for the people of the world. And he himself, he will there when upon the cross, as Isaiah predicted, and then as Paul affirms, he will swallow up death alive. He will swallow up death alive. He will soundly defeat death. And in all this, against Satan, he will soundly defeat Satan, because Satan is the father of death. He is the father of lies. He is the father of wickedness. And there in all things, he comes in his strategies with his imps and his little demons and to work and to war against your mind. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians, he's going to attack you up here. He's going to attack you up here. Put on the helmet of salvation, Christian. The word of God, he attacks up here. And all the strategies of Satan begins up here. And he'll bring you into question of did God really say this? Just like he said to Eve. And bring you to doubt. And once you doubt, you will waver. And you'll waver. And then you will, unless you, by the grace of God, back to the truth, you will continue on and you'll swallow up his lie. And you'll live on in tragedy, or you'll press on and engage in that which you know is anti-scriptural, which you know is a commandment of God not to do, not to be. You got to know the mind that works against you. That's why we're told in Philippians 2, put on the mind of Christ. Study the scriptures and rejoice in the Lord and recount your salvation and all the goodness that he's brought into your life. Put on the mind of Christ. Learn to think like Christ thinks. Then that where you will identify the old voice and the strategy of Satan. You'll think like Christ and how you are and how you act and the character of your heart and your life and the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and kindness and long-suffering and on. And know that the mind, so that you know the mind that's behind the system, you've got to know the truth of the scriptures. You got to know the truth of the word. And as you commune with the Spirit of God, and as you move forward in life to serve him, and you'll hear things and you'll hear words and you'll know immediately this is not true, because with Christ in the word and as the Spirit of God lives in you comes that gift of discernment. You'll discern what is true. You'll discern what is lie. And there may be some moments and you'll say, something about this just does not sound right. Because it's so tricky. It is just a shave. It's just a splinter off the truth. Something doesn't sound right here. Lord Jesus, something's not right about what this man says. Something's not right about what this woman is teaching. Something is not right with my friend said and what he believes. It sounds, I want to say good, but it's not good. Your scriptures, that gift of discernment, then as you take that and the Spirit of God will reveal to you, it isn't true. It isn't true. He doesn't come at you. Satan doesn't come at you with tanks blazing and artillery flying. His strategies start ever so small. Right here. And that is why Jesus tells us in the Old Testament, you'll hear the voice behind you saying, no, don't listen to him. You go this way. This is what you do. For the power of God is not in the earthquake, the wind, and the fire, but in that still, small voice. How do we get the still, small voice? It is the Spirit of God speaking in your heart, the scriptures. And and he'll press in your heart, and you won't hear him probably say anything, but he will recall to your mind and into your heart the scripture, and then revealing, throwing back the curtain of the old devil who's playing hide and seek in your life. And this is what is manifest in the world, in a wicked world that knows not Christ. And for you and I, Christian, the Lord, the world system is governed behind the scenes by the old devil. And that's what he says here in 31. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. He's not speaking about the material world. He's not speaking here in this about the inhabitants of the world. The judgment of the world will soon happen in time when the whole thing will be destroyed by fire. And all the inhabitants of the world will stand before Christ at one or two of the judgments. He is speaking here about the old devil himself. I'm going to take him on. This is why I came. But I'm telling you, before we ever engage, while I'm hanging on the cross and he bludgeons all hell at me, I will soundly defeat him. This is why I came. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other God beside me. I and my Father are one. As you see me, you see the Father. It is God and Jesus Christ who came into this world to save us and to destroy our enemy. In one day, in that final judgment, one day, he will call for the old devil. He'll call him. You come here, Lucifer. The old devil, you come here. And he will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps it'll be as it was as the kings in the Old Testament when they soundly defeated another king and the king was thrown at the feet of the victorious king. The victorious king put his foot on the neck of the defeated king. And this king, knowing that his life, everything, his whole everything was dependent on what this king had to say about that king, whether he was left go, or whether he was put into exile, or whether he would say, kill him. And he'll put his foot, the mighty Son of God, on the neck of Satan. And we're going to be watching with such glee and rejoicing. Is there a hallelujah in the house? And our Lord Jesus Christ will take Satan and cast him into the pit, the hottest, the fieriest, most gruesome, most punishing place in hell, which Christ prepared for the devil and his angels. Humans weren't intended to go there, but all that reject Christ will. You must know that. You leave this world without Christ in your heart, without being born again in Jesus, without his righteousness covering you, you will split hell wide open. You will be engulfed in the flames and torment where Jesus said, it is of weeping and gnashing of teeth where the worm dies not in the conscience and the pain and the agony and the misery of it all. And it is beyond what the human mind can even conceive what it must be like, let alone the fact that every wisp of smoke and every flame and every moment of torment says forever, 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 forever. He came. Jesus came. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. It's in the heart of John 3:16. Jesus warned and preached about hell and anything else that he preached on in his 3 years of ministry. The one whom you look at right now, why did I trust Christ as a Savior? Because I didn't want to die and go to hell. That's why. As a little child, my eyes were, I didn't understand all that was in here, but I knew. John 3:16, and I'd heard the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word and in church and Sunday school and at home. And I knew my soul was lost. I don't want to die and go to hell. There's no coming back out of it. The only time all peoples in hell will get a little reprieve is when Jesus, when he empties out hell for as those who are dwelling there and punished there, live there, die there, will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And there's no hope. There's no hope. You're going to see your family members. You're going to see friends. And I pray you don't see yourself standing there. We preach the gospel. Jesus saves. And Satan will dub your mind in all your life's experiences until to teach you and tell you and swage you to gratify the flesh. Go your own way. Don't get so fanatical about this. You better be a fanatic about the Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs you to be. The mind behind the system doesn't originate in Washington or in Putin's capital or in any other institution or place in anywhere in the world. It comes from the mind of Satan. Anything that is evil and wicked and horrible and deadly and hateful, it comes from Satan. And this is the culture and the atmosphere of the world. And you and I, as born-again believers, that's why we are aliens in this world, because our home is in glory. And while we're here, we are citizens of heaven on earth in this, as we are ambassadors for Christ. That's why he says, love not the world, Jesus said, nor the things in the world. He says, guard your heart. Guard your heart that you be not taken away. Dear ones, we must close. But Watchman Nee in this book continues on teaching us that by the fifth generation of Cain comes Lamech. And Lamech had two wives, and from his two wives, three sons. And these three sons are the father of all livestock, farmers and herders, arts, music, all these things. Music, both what blesses your soul, and music that is so wicked and evil. But the greatest one is the father of all bronze and iron, the making of weapons. And so you just take these three things. You know, there was no technology in the Garden of Eden. It was just Jesus and Adam and Eve. And where our society has gone to and how it has escalated to with weapons and technology, that at the flip of the button, satellites click on, artilleries explode. They're set to air. It is a treacherous, fragile world. And it is only by the Spirit of God that he's holding things back. Know that. Doesn't matter whose powerful military, army, or whatever it is. It is the Spirit of God. He is restraining evil. So he says, put on the mind of Christ. Be watchful and be aware as you go out. He says, be as watchful as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Watchful against the mind of the God of this world, the old devil. Harmless as the Spirit of God taking forth the gospel. And everything that you put forth is for the blessing, for the uprise, for the increase of lives and the kingdom of God. Satan, all he wants to do and all he seeks to do, kill, destroy, devour. Press on in Christ, church. Press on in Christ. Love the scriptures. Take it to heart. Take it to heart and live well in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, dear God. Thank you, praise you, bless you. And Lord, the truth that you have so blessed us with this morning, people have no idea, they have no clue, and many would love to hear the truth of the scriptures. Here we are so blessed to be able to ingest it, then to preach it, and then to hear it, and the same thing goes on. As hearers, we ingest the word of God, we take this to heart, and we pass it on to others. Lord Jesus, our Bibles, the scriptures. Holy Spirit, we love you. You're the one who leads us and guides us in all these matters, teaching us that we may be grown up into the Spirit of Christ, empowering us to live as Christ lived. And Father, we would just to know the love of our Father, for love conquers all. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.